Good evening, I'm Teddy Ride.
And I'm Randy Berger.
The ongoing zombie infestation of Barnard Station seems to have reached a turning point. A specialist who goes by the name Minerva, who is head of the microgravity medical facility on Barnard Station, has discovered a cure for the zombies. In order to calm the zombies down from their sex-crazed pizza obsession, it seems that good wholesome entertainment from the 21st century in all 2D color is the way forward. When questioned about the method, Minerva said,
"The treatment worked first in one of our onesie-wearing agents in an unrelated case."
When asked exactly how the method worked, Minerva had this statement,
"We are halting the infection by making them watch infant educational programming, and it seems to be working. 24 hours of the best of the waggles seems to be the perfect cure, with endless loops of Big Red Cobra being reserved for the worst cases."
The only downside to the treatment is the side effects on healthy people who have to restrain the zombies during the waggles. These people receive a bad dose of the waggles, leaving them as slavering, twitching wrecks. It has now led to the practitioners of waggle treatment needing 2 weeks off after administrating one treatment. This has led to an interesting phrase adopted by the survivors. If it's dead, waggle it. Waggle it good.
The owner of the station's antique vinyl shop, Peter Fitzinwell, is one of the few members of the station who is profiteering from the zombie invasion. Reporting a boom in sales after members of the station discovered that using high-quality vinyl as a frisbee can decapitate the zombies. However, low-quality songs by poor artists seem to be ineffective. With one person destroying all the last known copies and busting Greener's albums in a futile attempt to escape, he was later found dead, clutching a pile of Nick Gasly albums. For more on the zombie apocalypse, we cross over to our on-the-spot reporter, Bert Yorgate. Cool.
So, I did all three of them at once. Yes, you join me here in Barnard Star Station, where I'm stationed way behind the battle lines. I have my garlic, cross, and wooden stake just in case, so we're taking no chances here today. I can see several people lined up with various weapons. Oh, and I can see the zombies are shuffling towards us, still a long way off. And look, there's a group of people fighting the zombies. One of them's got a onesie on a leash, and one is deftly throwing some kind of plasma slicer around. Wow! Look at the old guy's bending over, showing his lovely, curvaceous, inviting ass to the zombies and jest. Oh, look! He's going to...
We appear to have lost Bert there. Thousands of new Myonis Cobras are being recalled today after a discovered design flaw was identified within the ship's heat dump mechanism. The new Cobras, produced by the manufacturers behind the G1 racing team Myonis, were found to have a defective valve, leading to slow leakage from thermal filters from the heat dump mechanism, manifesting as a syrupy brown liquid escaping from the rear of the heat vent. Myonis's leaks are problematic as Myonis is very popular with long-distance pilots, who like nothing more than a warm port after a long journey. For them, the comfort of Myonis' ample size and features makes the manufacturer their number one choice for Cobra production, and any blight on their record could seriously damage Myonis's reputation in some sectors. In one particularly serious malfunction, the Myonis valve exploded, leaving hot sticky debris all over a passing sidewinder, causing the pilot to take evasive maneuvers, leading it to colliding with an asteroid. Myonis released this statement. Myonis is not infallible, and while all precautions are made to use the best components and parts in Myonis products, occasionally some issues can arise. In this case, we have begun investigations into this particular issue, and we will publicize our findings. But for now, we are replacing the valves where required with a more expensive valve. We believe strongly that if we put the best parts in Myonis, then Myonis will produce the best outputs. Myonis has taken a beating recently with customers switching to Ride My Ass instead and their brand of customized Cobras. However, if you have used or continue to use Myonis, you are advised to return it to a local dealer where the valves will be tightened or replaced for no additional fee.
The Galactic Ordnance Survey have delayed the release of their new star map again today, leading to bitter disputes in several systems. In the prison system, one author has said that without the new star map, the chances of his new book arriving anytime soon have been reduced to zero. This is due to problems in arranging delivery when it isn't clear how to plot the optimal delivery path and therefore reducing shipping costs. The GOS said the amount which is being produced in Shroudbury had to go through some serious redesign after astronomers there miscalculated the amount of stars in the galaxy by several billion. Also, two well-known trade routes were miscalculated to such an extent that the cost of fuel alone would wipe out any profit possible. The checking recomes after some early product alpha testing of their new Galaxy Nav system revealed the serious miscalculations. Several of the alpha test pilots were killed after hyperspacing into suns, planets, and asteroids. One test pilot who used a star map ended up 4,000 light years into deep space due to a large mathematical error within the Galaxy Nav system with the new star map. The revised Galaxy star map is expected to be released soon.
Security forces had to be called in to deal with a huge protest at the recent Prism Official Orchestra concert in Birmingham World this week. The global tour is the first time that Pooh has ever left the Prism system and marks its biggest musical export. Boasting to represent the musical culture from Prism, the audience were treated to many of the traditional songs from recent Prism history. Unfortunately, the audience were not impressed from what they described as tuneless wailing and poorly played instruments. Commander Wagar, who is a particularly prized singer on Prism, released an album of cover versions last year, also leading to protests from anyone outside of Prism who had the misfortune to listen to it. The security forces were called in as audience members turned nasty and started to flood the box office demanding refunds and, in some cases, compensation. The Pooh tour has now been cancelled due to public outrage. The creator of Pooh was rushed back to the Prism system where he is said to be considering his options.
A huge bounty has been issued today for anyone who can kill or capture the notorious pirate, Gingerbread. The pirate is infamous for his method of luring unsuspected traders into his web by first appearing nice and gaining their trust, and then turning on them spitefully. Gingerbread always promises to deliver something for the traders, but never delivers. When the trader's asking for a favour, he always replies with his catchphrase, "Soon." The bounty was raised to 500,000 credits after several pictures showed up on bulletin boards by Gingerbread in the past few weeks. These pictures show the same unlucky signbinder in various states of distress, showing that this pirate, who also goes by the nickname Wookie, is no novice in the art of torture. The last picture showed the Sidewinder being destroyed completely. Sympathies go out to the family of this Sidewinder's owner. Gingerbeard, however, may not be Gingerbeard for much longer. Rumours are abound that he may shave off his famous beard and attempt to disguise himself. Other crimes that Gingerbeard has committed include stealing hair dye to cover up ginger hair from attacks, liberating gingerbread men from bakeries, and invading spaceport coffee houses where he liberally dunked his ginger nut into other clients' coffees. He does, however, have a soft spot, donating 30,000 credit to this year's Movember, a charity astroturf cutting event that raises money for bald ex-gingers. Officials say this man is armed and dangerous and should only be approached by serious bounty hunters.
Barnard Star Breweries have started a new campaign this week by offering 200 lucky people access to their ale for testing. The ale for testing will give lucky punters the chance to try some of the very latest products to come out of Barnard Star Breweries. People are being advised to sign up as soon for ale for testing, as there are limited spaces. The cost is 20,000 credits and the event is set to last all month. One old-timer was said to be so excited by the prospect he purchased 10 tickets for himself, although a single ticket allows the holder to drink as much as he can consume. Ale for testing will focus on certain areas of the brewery, with the first week seemingly being dedicated to their new Thargoid Blaster brand.
The latest episode of Inventor's Cave was stopped halfway through when inventor Philippa Pan showed off his new Starship control unit. According to the designer, you simply place the device over your head and it can read your thoughts while allowing you to see in four dimensions. The potential to see events before they even happen was the device's big selling point. With all the cave owners offering hard credit for the design, Philip looked well on the way to having a well-funded, well-thought-out invention. The problem started when one of the cave judges tried on the headset and accidentally started thinking about the movie Boyle Banger. The scene that followed of a Cobra Mark III trying to mount a Panther Clipper was a little risque, but the plug was finally pulled on the show when the Cobra ejected its cargo into the cockpit of the Panther.
Commander Simon was rudely awoken when a Cobra slipped unexpectedly into Winnard's Hole yesterday. Staff already in Winnard's Hole had to wake the commander when a Cobra Mark III arrived. The new design Cobra had been under wraps for months, and this marked the redesigned ship's first public appearance. Simon was said to be excited by the new ship and a little bit sleepy, he said.
It was quite a shock to see this cobra in my hole, but after the initial shock I found it exciting and pleasing.
The ship owned by one Bishop Peter was warmly welcomed in the end, as it was the first bishop to enter Winard's hole. He conducted a short blessing and prayer before leaving Winard's hole.
And now, Mike Coxmails with all the latest sports.
This is Mike Coxmails in your face with the freshest sports news. Well, today was the last day of this year's Five Empire Cup Rough Ball, and the Grand Slam came to Imperial, who secured the Golden Cobra with a convincing win over the Independents. The game was a straightforward affair, with the only death being Independent player Rob Maybelli, who was hit in the eye with a penalty flag thrown by an umpire he was arguing with, when Imperial player Booba Lars, acting quickly, removed his jockstrap and suffocated him, and then kicked him over the touch try line for 8 points. Imperial scored 3 more touch tries in a more scrappy fashion. Independence did manage to score the 8-point touch try by beating an Imperial back over his own line with a helmet, but failed to fully penetrate the Imperial defense afterwards. The Independents are doubtless feeling impotent after that attempt. The game ended on a landslide 43-12 victory for the Imperials. I'm sure there will be a lot of heavy partying on Achenar tonight and across the Empire. The trophy was awarded to the Imperials, and a tour of Imperial systems is planned for next week in an open top sidewinder. In today's other rough ball game, Federation managed a 54-8 win over Alliance, and in the process came within one player of winning by wipeout. Hugh Georgie, the last remaining Alliance player, is certainly a candidate for Survivor of the Year award. Having lost an arm in the final play, he used a dead teammate's intestines as a tourniquet to make sure the Alliance didn't finish the season in disgrace. And in the last minute of the game, Georgie got the ball and with his remaining arm stuffed it down the throat of Oliver Guffart and sprinted for the 8-point touch try, raising cheers from both sets of fans for his plucky contribution. There was no play this week in the Galaxy League, with the Galaxy Cup qualifying fixtures taking place early next week. Now here's the moment we've all been waiting for, the return of G1 with Heidi Salami and Steve O'Dell.
Well, you join us here at a fully packed Quack Track for the first race in the G1 Championships. Finally, all the build-up has led to this point. The drivers are ready, the teams are ready, and the crowd are certainly ready. With only a short time to go, things are absolutely buzzing around here. Isn't that right, Steve?
Yes, and you can feel the energy and tension. This reminds me of the opening day of the season in 3085, when I was driving for Fucky Fob, and I was sat in the ship. Ronnie Coxtip came up to me and said, "Just remember how to fly the ship and enjoy the next few months."
Ronnie Coxtip, sadly no longer with us after the accident involving Steve. He forgot how to fly a G1 ship and hit him at 2/3 the speed of light. But let's move on to the action now with the teams lined up and ready to go.
Well, after yesterday's qualifying run, Fonda Dix made a great start qualifying in 4th, just behind Lieke Degraden in 3rd. Howie Findersnatcher in 2nd, and Hollyfuck taking pole position. Most teams averaging the track at around 4:40 mark, which is 5 seconds slower than last year.
And the drivers are waiting now for the start. I see the lights now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 blue lights. And it's fly. And a mad dash for the first corner. Hollyfuck sits out in front. In the Fuctifino, a unique ship in every way, apart from the identical one behind it. Oh, my goodness me! Will you just look at that? A crash there, and it looks like Helmut Scrapper has gone right into the back of Tina Tits and taken them both out!
What a disaster there for Tina Tits. Was wobbling in a bit going into that corner. I think she got distracted by Jenny Taylor popping out from underneath her, and Helmut Scrapper had no chance at all. That's one of the first Beaverhausen and Far-to-do ships out of the race at the first corner.
And there is no damage to Jenny Davis's ship, apart from the damage on the ship itself. And there is only a few more laps to go, and then the action will really begin. And this is the action which it is, and it's happening now. Oh, did you see that? The flames shooting from the back of my anus there!
I think that's a safety light, Heidi. We've had word that Tina Tits is fine after the accident, just a bit shaken. Elma Scraper has also been cleared medically, so good news there.
Feldersnatch is slowing down, taking it easy. Oh, no, he isn't! It's a new lap record!
Fantastic flying there from Howie, a rookie who looks like the real deal. And only 2 seconds back on Holy Fuck now. I remember when I broke the record at Barnard Star. Ronnie Coxtip said to me you'll be wearing your flaps out too fast.
I remember that you crashed into Barnard Station when your flaps failed the lap after killing 14 people. But to be fair, you did set a lap record. And we're into the final lap here, and now, and oh wow, have you ever seen anything like that in your life? Amazing! How he felt to snatch takes the lead with only a few thousand kilometers left. And he drove over the top of Holy Fuck in an outrageous manner. And now, excuse me, was I interrupt myself? Oh, where is I can't see her. Goodness gracious. Lide Garden is out. She's out, everybody. She went to dump her heat and it got stuck in her flaps and she spiraled into the moon there. And they come up to the triple bill for the last time.
I think Dick Daly has stormed there. Yes, he's a lap behind and he stopped right on top of the loop-de-loop. And here comes Minus Watterson's hairbrush holding on to sixth place, also a lap behind the leaders. Oh dear. Now that's just appalling. Dick Daly, he started there and went straight into Mayennis. Yes, Mayennis Watson's hairbrush, he's not happy. Oh, there's going to be a protest log there. And Brewster Cox comes inside the Mayennis and takes sixth place.
And here the leaders come around the triple bill, and it's Felter Snatch. Fuck! Dick's to take the loop-a-loop, and Dick's got a wood, just avoids being lapped there. Felter Snatch on the outside, and Fuck looks unbeatable. Here he's sending on to get the win. Oh my fuck, he's off! Fuck, he's off! He crashes into the ground center. Well, that's just simply unbelievable. And that leaves Felt Snatch, who takes the checked flag. Dick's in second place. And yes, that's Drew Peacock, who picks up the third place a long way behind. What a race, Steve.
Absolutely amazing, Heidi. And Fuck if I know it, are not going to be happy with Fuck. There was no reason to attack his teammate. They had the 1-2 in the bag. But what a race for Funda Diggs, picking up second on his first flight back. And the Barnard Star team of Craven Moorhead couldn't be happier.
Well, that was a cracking first race of the season. And now Mike Cox smells with the full results.
Well, that was some race. The results are as follows. Howie Feltersnatch, 10 points. Funda Diggs, 6 points. Drew Peacock, 4 points. Colas to Me, 3 points. Jenny Talia, 2 points. Brewster Cox, 1 point. So, Fuck if I Know are leading the Constructors table after the first race. And now it's on to Farmerholt in a week's time. Back to you, Teddy.
Thank you, Mike Coxmells. And before we go to the weather, there's been a letter. And it comes from a Mr. Illuminti.
Dear Chasty, I got caught short during handjob last week. I just had to sit there shaking away holding myself while hand job came over me. Maybe next time there's a hurricane, you can come over and keep me company while we get windy and wet. Yours always, Illuminti.
Oh no, I don't think I would be comfortable at your hand job party, Illu. Getting wet ruins my hair. Anyway, let's get on with the weather. It was Frog Log Day on Birmingham World today, and plenty of people were in attendance to see if Fuck-Tadiley, the weather frog, would predict a long, warm summer, or if we're in for a moist, damp one. Fuck-Tadiley was placed inside the log as usual, and appeared before the crowd who saw the frog's tongue, a sure sign of a hot summer. And the keepers of the frog read out the message. If the frog's tongue be out and long, many people will be out in thong. According to the keepers of the frog is accurate most of the time. Torrential downpours are forecast for the first 9 days of summer on Birmingham World. Residents are advised to prepare sandbags to protect against flooding. Temperatures are staying on the low side too, and some icy patches form overnight. So remember to wrap up warm and check in on elderly neighbours. I help an old man next door. He has trouble using his stairlift, so I go in every night to put him on downstairs and then I pull him off on the landing. And now the travel. There is a huge tailback on the G6I following a series of protests by residents of the Slough system. Protests over the level of dumping in Slough are seen that put further strain on the G6I when one protester attempted to stop a dump truck from Stroudbury. The truck miscalculated the stopping distance, but at the last minute swerved to avoid the protester, hitting an asteroid, spilling its dump load, closing both directions down. We recommend avoiding the G6 for the short term and instead take the A88 Bluebell Avenue onto the B1924 Lovely Johnson Lane around the problem. The space works on the B4 are continuing, but the Ministry of Transport has reissued its warning about workers appearing out of nowhere. Drivers may think the coned off area is devoid of any workers, but just because you can't see them doesn't mean they aren't there. The delays around Barnard Star on the B4 have led to heavy traffic up the back roads. Oh, I saw heavy traffic up the back roads last night. Such a shame, it's usually much easier to get home after work. Back to you, Randy.
Thank you, Chesty. Well, that's all from BS News tonight.
I'm Teddy Ride.
And I'm Randy Berger.
Good night.
Toot toot sugar sugar big red cobra.
My anus's leaks are problematic as my